Daf is Daf Nun Bey, so we do have a tricky daf ahead of us. I think it's one of our first encounters of Tumah V'Tahara, so hopefully we'll walk through it together nicely and slowly. But we got to the Gemara. On the top two lines down, the Gemara had machlokas earlier between Beis Hillel Beis Shammai, whether you say the Hayom first, Kiddush Hayom, Birchas Hayom first, or Hagafen. Beis Shammai was the one who felt, you said Birchas Hayom before saying Hagafen. So the Gemara now challenges this last point. He says, the Savri Beis Shammai, the Birchas Hayom Adifa, is it true that Birchas Hayom is better that you say Birchas Hayom first before Hagafen? V'hatani, the Braisa tells us, Hanichnas lebeis b'matzei Shabbos. A guy comes to his house on Matzei Shabbos, Mivarech al Hayayin, Val Hamaor, Val Besamim, Val Charkach, Omer Havdalah. So we see Havdalah, which is congruent to Kiddush Hayom, which is the ending. It's like creating the Yom Chol. It's the Kiddush Hayom. We say it at the end. Hagafen al Hayayin comes first, and Havdalah comes afterwards. And the Braisa continues, V'im ein lo ella kos echad. If there's only one kos, so you can't say kos on the benching, and also in Havdalah. So then, menich l'achar mazon, you leave it until after the benching's over, u'mishal shen kul n'achar, and you put everything all together on one coast. But our proof from here is Yayin comes first, Havdalah comes last. So the Gemara says, v'ha, mimai de Beis Shammai, who says that the Braisa here is authored by Beis Shammai that says the Havdalah goes last? Maybe this is Dilma Beis Hillel. Maybe Beis Hillel is the author of this Braisa, and that's why Havdalah goes last. But maybe in the world of Beis Shammai, Havdalah should come first. Gemara says, Lo Saka Daitach, you would not have thought that this was authored by Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel rather. It's definitely authored by Beis Shammai. Why is it authored by Beis Shammai? Dikatani, it says in the Braisa, Me'or v'acharkach b'samim. The order is not what we do, but the way the Braisa said it was Yain, then it said Me'or, which is Eish, then it says b'samim, and then Havdalah. And Beis Shammai is the one, as we're about to see, who holds that the bracha Me'or is before the bracha b'samim. Uman shmasle d'islei haisvar, who holds that way? That's Beis Shammai. Ditanya, Amar Reb Yehuda, lo nechleku Beis Shammai u'Beis Hillel al hamazon shebetechila. They agree that when you're benching for Shal Shudis and Havdalah, that you should bench first. Val Havdalah, they all agree, shebesof, Havdalah is at the end. What's the machlokis? Amar nechleku al hamor va besamim. The order of the two middle ones, numbers 2 and number 3, is it mor first or besamim first? Beis Shammai omim mor v'charkach besamim. U'Beis Hillel omim besamim v'charkach mor. So we see clearly, Beis Shammai is one who says that the Ma'or comes first, so he must be the author of that Braisa above, that Ma'or comes before Besamim, and yet he still holds Havdalah, Kiddush Hayom, Birchas Hayom is the last thing on the list. So the Gemara says no. Umimai de Beis Shammai hi aliba de Rabbi Yehuda. This whole Beis Shammai discussion, we have Machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. There's a Machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, how to understand that Machlokas. So whoever said that we're going with Beis Shammai according to Rabbi Yehuda's understanding of the Machlokas, Dilma, maybe it's Beis Hillel, Aliba de Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir had a whole other understanding of what they're arguing about, and that would work out well. So just look at Rashi to see what Beis Hillel holds according to Rabbi Meir. The first narrow line down in Rashi. The Dilma Beis Hillel hi, v'aliba de Rabbi Meir, ditnam masis, and our Mishnah, which is Rabbi Meir, holds Beis Hillel omim ner u'besamim. Our Mishnah said ner comes first, ma'or comes first, and then besamim. And we'll see later on in the Gemara that that's Rabbi Meir, author of the Mishnah. So maybe Rabbi Meir, according to Beis Hillel, is the one who authored the Braisa above, and not Beis Shammai, according to Rabbi Yehuda's understanding. And the Gemara says, lo saka daitach. No one would suggest that the Braisa above could be Beis Hillel, Aliba de Rabbi Meir. It must be Beis Shammai, Aliba de Rabbi Yehuda. The Katani Hacha, B'Masis, and it says in our Mishnah, Beis Shammai Omrim, Ner Umazon Besamim Vavdalah, and Beis Hillel Omrim, Ner Ubesamim Mazon Vavdalah. They're switching Besamim and Mazon around. That's 2 and 3 are being switched around according to our Mishnah. The Hasam there in the Braisa, Katani, Im ein lo ela kos echad menich l'achar mazon u'mishal shen kul acharav. Meaning, in terms of mazon, we want to know, there is a, again, it's confusing here, but we'll look at Rashi in just a second, but in our Mishnah, the mazon is either number 2 or number 3. There's 4 brachas, right? There's Yayin, there's Havdalah, there's mazon.
This is
Shal Shudas. So right now, according to the... benching, yeah. Yeah, so now what happens is in the Mishnah, the mazon is somewhere in the middle. It's either number 2 or number 3. But our Braisa above said mazon goes all the way at the in the beginning. It's the first thing. So just look at Rashi to make this clear, hopefully. Rashi says, lo saka daitach, 4 lines down. Lo saka daitach la'okme Braisa kimasis. And you can't say our Braisa here in Daf Nun Beis is equivalent to the Mishnah on Daf Nun Aleph yesterday. Demasnisim, because our Mishnah, Katani Mazon Be'emsa. The Mishnah was saying Mazon was in the beginning, in the middle rather. It was either number two or number three. But our Braisa above on Daf Nun Beis here, Katani, Mishal Shlen Kul Na'achav, you put all the brachas of Abdullah afterwards, which is Mashma Kureb Yehuda, Damer Aha Mazon Shebetchila, that Mazon comes number one. It's the first thing on the list here. So clearly our Braisa above is Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Right, Meir holds Mazon's in the middle. Rabbi Yehuda holds that benching is number one. So once we establish our Braisa and Daf Nun Beis is Rabbi Yehuda, and then he also says that Ma'or comes before Besamim, it must be according to Beishamid, this Braisa above. You have to go back through a little, follow all the details here, but that's what comes out from this. So the Gemara, now back inside the Gemara says, read it one more time, Lo Saka Daitach, no one would have thought that Braisa and Daf Nun Beis is really authored by Rabbi Meir. The Katani Hachabuk is here in the Braisa, rather here in the Mishnah, Beishami Omrim Ner Umazon Beshamim Havdalah, Mazon number two. Beishil Omrim Ner Beshamim Mazon Havdalah, Mazon number three, it's in the middle somewhere. But Hasim over there, but Braisa, which is our daf here, Katani, Im Ein Lo Ela Kos Echad, Menichel Achar Mazon, Umishalshin Kul Nachav, you put them all after benching, meaning benching comes number one. Mazon number one, it has to be Rabbi Yehuda. So Shema Mina must be this Braisa Nun Beis is Beishamahi Valiba de Rabbi Yehuda. That's what comes out from the Braisa. Now, Mikomakam Kasha. What's the question? Because right now we have in the Braisa Nun Beis that Beishamahi says you should put Abdallah last, which is Birchas Hayom. But we saw in yesterday's daf that he said Birchas Hayom comes first. So how do you reconcile this? And it's probably the answer you probably all thought of. The Gemara says, Kasabri Beishamahi, Beishamahi holds the following klal. Shaini Ayula Yoma, Me'afuke Yoma. It's different when you're bringing in, when you're ushering in Shabbos, you're beginning Shabbos, versus when you're ending Shabbos, which means what? Ayule Yoma Kama Demekat Minman Alei Adif. When you're bringing in Shabbos, it's better to bring it earlier. Tosefa Shabbos is better, so Birchas Hayom is first when it comes to Kiddush. When it comes to Afuke Yoma, when it comes to ending, exiting of Shabbos, Kama Demachrin Alei Adif, better to end it later and push it off last. So it doesn't come off, doesn't give the impression as a burden. So that's the difference, depending if you're creating Kedusha or you're ending Kedusha. So this is a very important halachic discussion with regards to Mate Shabbos of Ner of Chanukah. Do you light Ner's Chanukah first, or do you light Havdalah first? So some say, well, based on the Gemara, it's better to Afuke Yoma Kamen Machrinale. You should push off as much as possible Havdalah. You should make Ner's Chanukah Bracha first, and then Havdalah afterwards. Others say, no, but you have Tadir. Havdalah is every single Shabbos. It's Tadir Shein Tadir, Tadir Kodem. But then others say, but the problem is, you're missing out this concept of pushing it off. So the Taz says, it doesn't make sense. If you want to push off Shabbos and Havdalah later on, it doesn't make sense to light Neres Chanukah. Because the moment you light Neres Chanukah, you've ended Shabbos. There's no Toelis in pushing off Havdalah if Shabbos has ended. So it's Yesh V'Yesh. What comes out in Halacha L'maisa is, the practice in the shuls are to say Havdalah first, those who say Havdalah. But the Mishnah Berurah says, since you're Yesh V'Yesh in the postgim, whatever you do in your home is fine, you should be consistent. And if you're having different family members for Chanukah, don't have half the family members Havdalah than Chanukah, and the others Chanukah, Havdalah. Whatever you do in the house, there should be some level of consistency, but it's fine either approach that you take. Okay, Vayter now. The Gemara says, halfway down, Amud Aleph, it says, V'savri Beishamai holds, Birchas Mazon Tuna Kos. Does he really hold that you require a kosher bracha when it comes to benching? V'hatnan, the Mishnah tells us, Balhem Yayin L'achar Mazon. Let's say, after you've benched, then they brought to you a cup of wine. Im ein sham ela osal kos. You only have one kos. So beishami omrim mivarch al yain v'charkach mivarch al mazon. He thinks just say a bracha during your meal, and you don't have to save it for afterwards. Meaning beishami doesn't think it's so essential that you have to have a bracha on a kos. You could drink it during the meal and then bench without a kos. My lav de mivarch alea v'shasile. Does it not mean during the meal they bring you a cup of wine, you drink it, you bracha, make a bracha, and you drink it? And it's not available anymore for after benching. So he doesn't care about Birchas HaMazon Tuna Kos. And the Gemara says, love, not true. Di Mivarech Alev Alavei Umanichla. He says a bracha hagafen during the meal, and he leaves it there. He doesn't drink it. Now that's obviously a strange Havamina. How do you say a bracha hagafen and not drink it? Now the truth is, it's not so strange. We'll see the Gemara is going to ask a question. V'ha mar ha-mivarech tzarech sheyitom. You have to taste it? So there is not the bracha of Hagafen is not a classic birchas hanenim. We do have instances where a person could say Hagafen and not have to drink from it. So, for example, when it comes to Navdal, you have to drink from it. When it comes to the chuppah, the Misara Kedushin, saying the bracha of Hagafen, he doesn't have to actually drink it. He gives it to the chasan or the kalif to drink it. There are those who are machmer who intentionally spill the wine on their finger and will lick their finger afterwards to be told this particular din. But Hagafen in general is a unique type of birchas hanenim whereby there might be some reasons why a person may not have to drink it. But the Gemara says here, how do you say a bracha of a gafen and a cup of wine and not taste it? And the Gemara says, the time light. No, he actually tasted it. So then, he saved it for benching afterwards. He tasted a little bit during the meal and saved it for drinking afterwards to make a benching on the bracha of a kos. The Gemara says, but that doesn't work either. V'hamar mar, tamei pagmo. If you taste the wine, you're pogim it. And if you're pogim it, you can't say a bracha on a wine that's pogim. The Gemara says, the tarmle biyadei. No, he stuck his finger in it, or he spilled some on his finger, and he licked it off his finger, but that wasn't pogim the wine. The pogim the wine only when you drink directly from the kos. So the Gemara says, v'hamar mar kosha bracha tzarech shir. So don't you need a shir? So he would get brought just an exact amount of revius of wine. And the moment you taste a little bit, it's less than a shir. V'hakapachislai. He has less than a shir revius that he needs for the kosher bracha for after benching. The Gemara says, "Dinafish le tafei mishireha." No, he was given more than one cup of glass, one cup of wine. So he had a little bit during the meal, and he had more for after benching. How can that be? V'ha im ein sham ela osokos katani. Doesn't the Brisa say where they only had one cup available and exactly a revius available? You taste a tiny bit. There's not a revius left anymore. Gemara says, "Shrei lahave." They didn't have two cups, mechad nafish, but they had more than one. They had one and a half. So he's able to have a little bit and then fill up a little bit more to make it a full revius for the benching. Doesn't Rabbi Chia teach us that Beishami holds that you say the bracha on wine, you drink it, and then afterwards you're supposed to bench? So we see that.
During the week, or this is
Shabbat? During the week, no, nothing. It's a regular meal. So he says, afterwards you bench, and you don't have to save it for afterwards. There's no need to save it. So we see, at the end of the day, there's Ela Trey Tanai Aliba de Beishame. There are two different versions of whether or not Beishame required a kos or not required a kos when it comes to benching. Now, what's the reason why you have to have a kos, or why is there an inyan to have a kos for benching? So Levush explained because it's that there are kavot. We always have a kos when it comes to Nisun, when it comes to Bris Mila, when it comes to Abdallah. It just adds more flavor to the benching. Now, the Rush is of the opinion that even if a yachid benches on his own, he should bench with a kosher bracha, but that certainly is not the practice. The Mishabura says the practice is, even with a minion, I'd rather with three people, the practice isn't to have a kosher bracha, unless there's wine that's available on the table, or maybe in the refrigerator, then there's such an inyan, but the practice is not to be so makbid on a kosher bracha. When it comes to a minion then, already at that point, people are very makbid on a bracha. So now look at Tosis for a second, Tamo Pugamo. If you taste a little bit of the wine is now pugam. So Tosas writes, Perish Rashbam, Dafka le Kiddush la'Avdala, Tarach shelo yepagam. When it comes to a bracha, Kiddush or Dvar Mitzvah, or Avdala, that's when we say, if you drank from it, it ruins the wine. About Lishos, just stam to drink a glass of wine during the week, Tarach levarach alav, Afa pishu pagam. If you're drinking a wine that's already pagam, that someone else drank from, and now you're drinking from it, of course you have to say a bracha of a guffin. Because the aser lehanos mina olam azeb la bracha. So only Kiddush Avdala, where it's a davar mitzvah, there we say it can't be pogum. He says further, Kiddush Avdala, nami lo amram ela b'makum de'efter. We only say yayin pogum is inadequate for Kiddush Avdala when there's no available wine, when there is available wine, rather. About EF Shar, if you don't have other wine, mivarech afila pogum. Then if you have no choice, then a person should say bracha Avdala and Kiddush even on pogum. Benos in the tocha mayim, kedisa b'yisham, you can pour some water in it in order to make it unpugim. I mean, the way it works, if you have pugim wine, you can pour other fresh wine in it, or even water, and that will remove the stigma of it being pugim. Okay, back inside the Gemara now. Gemara says, b'yishami omrim, now this is where it gets challenging. This is where the Tumah V'Tahara comes up. So b'yishami omrim, we had a machlokas, whether one should wash hands first, or should they pour the wine first. So the Gemara quotes Tanya Rabbanim, Beishami Omim, Nolin liyadayim v'charkach mozgin esakos. First, you're supposed to wash your hands, and then afterwards, you pour the cup of wine. Why? Because shemata omer mozgin esakos tchil. If you pour the wine first, shemi yitamu mashkin, shachore hakos, machmas yadav. So perhaps what's going to happen is there might be some liquid. So my hands aren't washed yet. So first you pour the cup of wine. My hands are dirty. So I'm holding the cup. Now there might be some liquid on the back side of the cup. My hands are dirty. My hand's going to contaminate, metame the liquid, and that liquid's going to now contaminate the cup itself. So that's the concern. So again, Shema ta omer mozgin zakos tchila, if you were to pour the cup of wine first, and my hand is still dirty, gzeira shemi tamu hamashkim, the liquid that's achore hakos, that's in the back of the outside of the cup, machmas yada, will get tamu because my hands are not yet washed. V'chazu v'tamu zakos, and that's going to go ahead and metame the kos. That's the concern here. And Rabbi Shami, we're going to see at the end, Rabbi Shami doesn't allow you to use a tamu cup. And we'll see why that is. So we don't want it to get the cup tameh, so therefore you wash your hands first, and then you pour the cup. So your hands are clean, your hand can't be metameh the kos anymore. So the Gemara says, who cares about the mashkim that's behind the cup? Letameh yadayim lakos. Why don't we say the hands which are not yet washed, my hands are dirty, when it touches the cup directly, should my hands be metameh the cup directly, even without the liquid being there? And the Gemara says, yadayim shniyosim. Yadayim are considered second hand. We know by tumah, there's ava tumah, which is the source of tumah, like a sheretz and like a tumas meis and nevela. Rishon is one level, sheni is another level, and shlishi. My hands, when the chacham say my hands were tameh only midirbanam, they only are the level of shnias, which are second level. And a sheni ain sheni osa shlishi bechulum. A secondary level tumah cannot contaminate to a third level to a kos of chulum. So that's why my hands can directly mitameh the cup. Ella aide mashm, unless there's a medium of liquid in between, so then my hand through the liquid, only that way can it contaminate the kos. That's the understanding of Beis Shammai. That's why you wash your hands first. This way your hands are not metame the cup. Beis Hilla omrim, mos genes hakos v'charkach notlin liyadayim. They felt, no, first pour the cup of wine, and then you can wash your hands. Why? Shimata omer notlin liyadayim tchila, if you wash your hands first. So now your hands are washed, your hands are clean, but the cup isn't clean yet. Gezerah, shem yitamu mashkin shibiyadayim machmas hakos v'yichazu v'yitamu siyadayim. Maybe now the cup is tameh. And the cup is going to metame my hands the other direction. Because we're going to see Beis Hillel allows you to use a cup that's tameh. Beis Shammai doesn't allow you to use a cup that's tameh. So Beis Shammai, this isn't a chashash that the cup will make my hands tameh. For Beis Hillel, the cup, I can use a kos that's tameh, so if I put my hand on the cup, I wash my hands, now I pick up the cup, that cup now might be tameh my hands. So therefore I have to pour the cup first. So the Gemara says, wash hands second. So the Gemara says, v'natame kos liyadayim. So who cares about the liquid? Again, the Gemara said, maybe the mashkin on the hands are going to be tameh from the kos. So even without the mashkim, why don't we say the kos itself, which is now tameh, maybe that should be metame my hands directly, even without there being any liquid. And the Gemara says,
according to Beis Hillel, the fact that he washed his hands and they might not be dried well, he might touch the cup, which is already tameh.
Exactly.
And when he makes right. Samotzi, then he's already tameh.
Right. So the Gemara says, so how can we need the liquid to even be there? Maybe the cup directly should be metame the adayim.
Right.
And the Gemara says, "V'ein kli metame adam." A kli does not have the ability, doesn't have the potency to metame adam. So then the Gemara says, "V'nitame lemashkin shibasocha." So since we're concerned of Beis Hillel now, so Beis Hillel's klal, because Beis Hillel says you could use a kos that's tame, and that kos tame can make my hands dirty. So now the Gemara says, okay, well maybe that kos, just like it can make my hands tameh, maybe it should make the liquid, the wine that's inside the kos, it shouldn't be metameh the kos inside. Netameh lamashkim shebesocho. And the Gemara says, no, hocha bekli shenitmu achorav b'mashkin askin. We're talking about kli, that kli could become tameh in two different ways, either from tumah going on the inside of the kli, or from tumah going on the outside of the kli. We're talking about a situation where the kli became tameh from the outside. Something tameh touched it from the outside. And in that case, we have a din, that which is tameh on the outside, toho tahor v'gabo tameh. That which is inside remains tahor, but that which is on the outside is tameh. It's a special din, ditznan. The Mishnah tells the Maseches Kelim, and this comes up several places in Shas, kli shenitmu achora b'mashkin, a kli that became tameh from liquid on the outside of the kli, only achorav tameh, only the outside is tameh, however tochel, that which is inside, remains a tahor, as does the ogno, which is the lip of the kli, or ozno, the handle, the ozno is really the area where you hold it, like, I don't know how you call it exactly, but But Yadav is also a handle. So one's a longer, one's a shorter handle. So different types of handles. And they're all Tahorim. Only the outside is Tameh. If, however, the Kli became Tameh im Nitmatochel, if Mashkim that were Tameh entered inside the Kli, then Nitmakula, all the different parts of the Keli becomes Tameh. So that's the, again, confusing machlokas between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. And the Gemara says, B'mai kamithli, what is the Nakudas machlokas here between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai? As I mentioned before, it's really whether or not you're allowed to use a Kli that's Tameh at the table. Bishame Savri Osir Lishtamesh Bakli Shinitmu Achori Bimashkim. If you have a Kli that became Tameh from liquid on the outside, you can't use it at a table. Why not? Gezera Mishim Nitzotas. Perhaps things are going to spill off from the Mashkim and it's going to fall on the outside of the coast. And when you hold the coast, it's going to now be Metame you. So in order to avoid your hands ever becoming Tameh, don't use any Kalim that are Tameh. So that's why Beis Shammai is never concerned that your hand will get tummy. He's only concerned that your hands might be tame the cup. The lekel migzar is lekel migzar shema yitam l'mashkim shibedai makos. This way to avoid any type of tumma that your hands will get tummy. But Beis Hillel says, Savri, mutter l'shamish b'kli shenitmu achor b'mashkim. You can use a keli that was tummy from the outside. De amri nitotet lo shkichi. It's not common that the things are going to spill and fall into the back and then make tummy your hands. It's very uncommon. Ikla mechash shemi tamu mashkim shibedayin machmas hakos. And therefore, he says, there's a still a chashash that your hands might get tummy from the kli since you're using a kli tummy. And therefore, he says, best to wash the hands after you've already poured the cup of wine. So that's the Nekudas Machlokas. The Gemara now says, quotes from a Tosefta, Davar Acher. Another reason why Beis Hillel says a person should first pour the cup and then wash his hands is because Teikaf L'Natiyas Yadayim Seuda. The din is when a person washes their hands, there shouldn't be any interruption. So if I were to wash my hands for the Seuda and then have to pour my cup of wine and then say a Moti, that Mezigas Kos is an interruption. We have a din, take off from the Tiyas Adayim Suda, and it's brought down the halacha that a person is supposed to wash hands and eat right away. There should be, I think it's the distance it takes to walk 22 amos maybe. I forget exactly this year. That's how long it should be between washing hands and a motzi. And most people take a long time washing hands and taking the time and schmoozing. It should be pretty quick. And I can't schmooze after washing hands for the most part. But you should really go pretty quick from washing till eating. And that's really what's driving Beis Hillel's point. That's why you should do the Tiyas Adayim afterwards. So my davar acher, what's the davar acher? What was Beis Hillel responding to that he felt compelled to bring a second reason why the Tiyas Adayim comes after Mezigas Kos? Hachi kamru lehu, Beis Hillel Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel says to Beis Shammai as follows. Lidithu, according to you, damrisa asa l'shamish b'kli sha'achorav t'meim, the gazir mishim nitotas, that you don't allow to use a kli that's tameh at the table. Afil hachi ha'adifa, still, even if you want to say such a thing, forgetting hilchos tuma, with regards to hilchos su'uda, it's better take off the tiyas yadayim su'uda. You should admit to me, at least for hilchos su'uda, that you should wash after mezigas hakos. This way there's no interruption from the tiyas yadayim till eating the meal. Okay, that's that machlokas, a very confusing one, as I said. The next one's also machlokas about tuma, a little bit easier to understand, but still involved. Beis Shammai Omrim, Machlokas Beis Hillel Beis Shammai was when you wash your hands with a cloth of some sort, should you put it on the table or should you put it on the chair below? Beis Shammai says you could leave it on the table, and Beis Hillel said you should put it on the couch or the chair next to you. So what's that Machlokas? So Tanya Rabban in the Braisa says, Beis Shammai Omrim, Mekanech Yadav Bimapa, and Menich Al Shulchan, Shemata Omer Al Kesef, you place it on the chair, Gezerah, Shema, there's a concern that if it's on the chair, there's going to be some moisture of the water that you just dried your hands from. Yitama Mashkin Shemapa, Machmas Al Kesef. Now, the water in the Mapa is going to become tame because we're going to assume the chair, the couch is tame. That's going to be tame, the liquid that's in the cloth now. When you wash your hands a second time, now your hands are going to become tame again. So we assume that keses is tame. That's going to be tame, the liquid in the cloth. So don't put it on the couch. Leave it on the table according to Beis Shammai. So then the Gemara says, wait a second. Who cares about the liquid? Shouldn't me placing a cloth directly on the couch, shouldn't the couch be tame, the cloth? And the Gemara says, Ein kli, metame kli. One kli cannot be metame kli unless there's a medium of liquid in between. So then the Gemara says, metame kesed lagavar gufa. How come when I sit on the chair, shouldn't the chair make me tame? Forget the cloth, forget the water. Me, I'm sitting on a chair and the chair is tame. Shouldn't that make me tame? And the din is, Ein kli, metame adam. Kalim cannot be metame adam. Beis Hillel omrim ala kesed. He said, no, put the wet cloth, the washcloth on the chair. Don't put it on the table. Why not? Because Shema Ta Omer Al Shulchan, if you place the wet cloth on the table, Gzeira Shema Tami Mashkim Shibi Mape Machmas Al Shulchan, Vichazu Vitamu Esveha Ochlim, the table which might be Tame now, is going to Metamri the liquid in the wet cloth, and that wet cloth is going to touch the food and Metamri the food. So he's more concerned about the food, and Meis Shama is more concerned about the person. So the Gemara says, okay, forget the liquid. When I put food on the table, shouldn't the table itself be metami the ochlin? And the Gemara says, no. Hacha b'shulchan shein yaskinan. Had the shulchan be tumah rishon, you're right, a rishon l'tumah can metame food. We're talking about a shulchan that's only a sheni. V'ein sheni osa shlishi b'chulin. A secondary type of tumah cannot make a third level tumah in the world of chulin. Ela'ai demashkim, unless it's a medium of liquid. So, but my mythically, what's the nekudas machlokas here? Beishame savri also the shamish b'shulchan sheni gzeira mishim ochle tuma. Beishame says the gzeira. If you have a table that's a secondary tuma sheni latuma, you can never use it. Why can you use it? Because let's say I'm a kohen or Ezra's a kohen. He's eating at a table. Tuma can be matame from a sheni latuma. So they made a gzeira across the board. No one could ever use a shulchan sheni. So if you can't use a shulchan sheni, there's never a chashash of food ever becoming tamei. That's why he says you're allowed to leave the wet cloth on the table, because the table, by definition, must be tahor. So there's no tumah to be concerned of. But Beis Hillel Savri, no, mutar l'shamish b'shulchan sheni. You can use a secondary tumah. And ochle tshuma, what about the Kohanim who are eating tshuma? Ochle tshuma is reason hein. Kohanim, as we know, is reason. They're careful. They'll know if the shulchan's a sheni, they won't put the tshuma on the table, and therefore there's no chashash, and everyone can use a shulchan sheni. But once you're using a shulchan sheni, there's a chashash that the chulin might be tame because the mashkin that's in the wet cloth. That's why Beis Hillel says, place the washcloth, the cloth here, on the chair away from the food. Davar Acher, the Gemara says, another reason, Ein Netilas Yadayim L'chul Minata Torah. The Bais says, another reason is, because Netilas Yadayim is not Minata Torah. What does that mean? Where does this come from? My Davar Acher. So the Gemara explains, Hachi Kamerlu. Beis Hillel Beisham. Beis Hillel says to Beisham, V'chi Tem, if you're going to tell me, Maisha Gabi Ochlin D'chashinon, U'maisha Gabi Yadayim D'luchashinon, Beis Hillel says, why am I concerned about the food? And I say, you should place it on the couch. Shouldn't I also be concerned the couch might make my hands tame? Gemara says, Afil Hachi, you have to make a decision here. The wet cloth has to go somewhere, either on the table or on the chair. So something, there's going to be some chashash. Either the food's going to get tame, or my hands will get tame. Which is a greater concern? So he says, Afil Hachi, Ha'adifa, it's better this way. Because even if my hands get tame, the Ein Netilas Yadayim L'chulin Minat Torah. Because it's only Midrabanan, my hands getting tame. Mitmutav Sheitamu Yadayim. Better than my hands get tame, the less like Ikum Midraisa, then I Tamu Ochlin, this like Ikum Midraisa, because food can become tame on a Midraisa level. So if I have to make a decision, that's the direction I should go in. We are running late. Let's keep going. So then Beis Shammai Omer Mechabdin. Beis Shammai says you should sweep the floor and then wash your hands afterwards. Beis Hillel says you should wash your hands first and then sweep the floor afterwards. So Tanur Rabban of the Bais says Beis Shammai Omer Mechabdin Sabayis V'Acharkech Nolin Liyadayim. Again, sweep and then wash hands. Shimata Omer Nolin Liyadayim Tchila. If you wash your hands first and there's still bread and crumbs all over the place, Nimsata Mafsid Ochlin. You're pouring water potentially on bread and that's being mafsid the food. So Aval the Tiyat Yadayim Levei Shammai Tchila Lo Svile. My time of Mishim Perurim, meaning what's the reason why I don't wash hands first? Because the crumbs of bread he's concerned with. So first sweep away the bread, the crumbs, and then wash your hands afterwards. Beis Hillel Omrim, Im Hashamish Tamen Chachamu. If the Shamish, the waiter's at Tamen Chachamu, so he knows it's usher to be mafsid food. So then note that you can wash your hands first, because Perurim Sheesh Berkazayis, he knows he'll get rid of it. But Meniach, Perum Eshein Kazayis, we can leave the crumbs that are less than a Kazayis, because that's not a concern that you're allowed to be mafsid. The only Isser being mafsid of food is when they're bread, crumbs of bread that are more than Kazayis. So if it's a Tamil Chacham that's there, he knows for sure to avoid getting them cleaned up, and therefore wash your hands first and then sweep afterwards. So Gemara says, Messiah Le Rabbi Yochanan, this supports Rabbi Yochanan, Damar Rabbi Yochanan, Perurim Shein Bam Kazayis, Mutter Lov Them Biyad. Here we see clearly that if you have a piece of bread that are less than the Kazayis, you're allowed to destroy them, ruin them as much as you want. So, but my Kamifki, what is the machlokas between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai? It's as follows. Beishil Savre Aser L'Shamish B'Shamish Amharetz. You can't use a waiter who's an Amharetz. And therefore, since every Shamish is going to be a Talmid Chacham, there's no chashash at all of being mafsis Ochlin, and therefore you should wash your hands first. Beishamish Savre Mutter L'Shamish B'Shamish Amharetz. You can use an ignorant waiter, and therefore, since he's ignorant, he may leave the food and lose it, destroy the food. That's why the practice is first sweep the room and then wash afterwards. So Amar Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina, Amar Rabbi Huna, Bekula Pirkin, the whole parak, all the machlokasim in this parak here, Halacha Kabeis Hillel, we pass like Beis Hillel, Bar Meha, except for this machlokas, the Halacha Kabeis Shammai, that you first have to sweep the floor and only afterwards wash my machronim. Rabbi Oshaya Masi Ipcha, he taught the opposite, that Beis Hillel was the opinion who said sweep the floor first and then wash, and then according to that switching around of the shitas, he says, Bahanami halacha k'beis hillel. Now we pass like Beis Hillel in every machlokes here in Hilchos Suda. Gemara now says in the bottom here, Beishami omrim neru mazon, v'chul, we had a machlokes Beis Hillel, Beishami, what comes first? According to Beishami, you do ner mazon b'samim havdala. Beis Hillel says you do ner u b'samim mazon havdala. They argue, everyone agrees ner comes first, havdala goes last. They argue about b'samim mazon, which is the order of the middle two. Rav Huna bar Yehuda ikle le bei Rava. He wants to visit the house of the Rava, and chazer le Rava the barach abesamim bereisha. He said the barach of borei minei besamim first. Amar leis. So Rav Huna says to Rava, michti beishame beis hillel amar lo pli. They don't argue about the barach of maor that the tnan beishame omrim ner umazim besamim havdala, beis hillel omrim ner ubesamim mazim havdala. They both agree ner comes first. So how come Rava was saying ner? How come he said besamim first? If the machlokas was clear, everyone holds ner is first. So the Gemara says, on the Rava Basra, Rava answered back, Zu divi Rabbi Meir. That's only Rabbi Meir's understanding of the machlokas. Aval Rabbi Huda Omer, lo nechalku beishami beis hillel al hamazon shetchila. They all agree benching comes first. Ve'al havdala shia basof. And they agree havdala is the last thing. Amal nechalku, what do they argue about? Al hama'or v'al besamim. Shibeishami omrim al hama'or v'al charkach besamim. But we hold like Beis Hillel omrim b'samim is first. That's how we paskin b'charka chamor. And Amr Rav Yochanan nagu am k'Beis Hillel ali libu de Yehuda. We paskin according to Beis Hillel the understanding of Yehuda that goes b'samim or ner havdala. Beishami omrim. There's also machlokes whether you say bara maor ha'esh or do you say bore maor ha'esh. So Amr Rava says bara kulam lo pligi de bara mashma. Bar means in the past that Hashem created the or. Keep pleading. When do they argue? Bibore. When you say bore, Beishame Savri, bore de Asadil Mivra, it implies he will create. Now it would be incorrect. But Beishahil Savri, bore nami de bar masha also implies that he did create in the past, and therefore bore is still consistent. It's similar to the machlokas we had about motzi and hamotzi a few days ago. So the Gemara then says, Mesa Rav Yosef. Yosef asks the question, Yote or Vere Choshech, Yote Harim Vore Ruach. All these different brachas, all these clearly indicate it was in the past tense. So this is a question of Beis Shammai. So Ela Amar Rav Yosef, Bibara, Bibore, Kuyama lo pligi, Debar Masher. Everyone agrees, both Bara and Bore imply the past. So keep pligi, what's the machlokas? Bimor and Meore, that's the machlokas. Beis Shammai Savri, Chada Nehura Ika Benur. There's only one or. It's Meore, it's one fire. Beis Hillel Savri, Tuva Nahori Ikit Benur. The many fires, it's Me'ore. What are the many fires of Me'ore? So Rashi says Me'ore implies that there's the red, and there's a white, and there's a blue. There's different flames in every Nair. The Ravid actually says Me'ore means there are many usages of fire. It's actually Machlokas in general. We're really running out of time here, unfortunately. But Machlokas, whether Barach of Ha'esh is a Birchas HaNenin to get Hana, or a Birchas HaShevach of praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creations of the world. So Rashi talks about how there's a red, and there's a white, there's a blue. He's describing the Shevach of the Or. But according to Rav, he's referring to the usages, the Hana, he thinks it's a Birchas HaNenin. Okay, let's finish off. Tani Nami Hochi, the Brisa says as well that Amru Lehem Beis Hillel LeBeis Shammai Harbe Me'oris Yesh Bor. The Brisa says there are many fires of the or. That's why Beis Hillel says Bore Me'ore Ha'esh. Maybe we'll stop here. We'll continue with this tomorrow. Mitzvah Hashem.
What are you doing tomorrow?
What should we do tomorrow?